have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. Uh-huh. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you. Only you, yeah. Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life. Pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace. Come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. I know that you're in pain. You gotta love yourself enough to make the change. Yeah. Speak into your eyes. Take back your life, pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out loud. Speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace.
Hello, Glyra Nation. Hi, how is everyone? I'm so glad to be here with you all tonight. And I want to welcome you to another episode of Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. And you all know who you're listening to. This is your host, Lady Michelle. So I welcome you to our virtual safe zone. And as always, you guys know that this platform was set up and it is centered around the education of domestic violence, around toxic relationships. We talk about the different forms of trauma. We're going to give you some self-love tools and techniques, things about finding your voice. So this is just to name a few, but these are some of the things that I will be talking about on this platform. And I want you to keep in mind that when Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was designed, we designed it with each one of you in mind. And that was really to enlighten you, to educate, to inspire and empower each of you. So just want to let you know that we're thinking about you in every aspect that we do when we design this show. Now, you know what comes next. We have to do our disclaimer, right? We may have someone new listening. They're not really sure about what goes on over here. And I also want to reiterate it for our Return Thriver Nation. All content of this podcast is intended for general information purposes only, and it is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional mental health, trauma advice, or any therapy sessions. Okay? Please never disregard or delay any kind of professional help based upon any content that you hear right here on this podcast, okay? If you feel like you are in need, you promptly consult your physician or 911 if you really feel like you have a medical emergency, okay? Y'all make that promise to me, right? All right. We've got all the formalities out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about tonight and about this episode. I'm really, really, really excited to be sharing this microphone tonight with such an amazing woman. She helps us each and every month with trauma topics, and she's going to help us tonight to navigate through trauma that could lead to suicide. Now, I'm going to pause for a second because before I go any further, I want to let you all know, I want to make an announcement here, and I'll make this announcement throughout the show. Tonight's topic is very, very heavy. And if you begin for any reason to start to feel nervous or any anxieties come up or you get a little upset about anything that you hear about this, something may trigger something in you, you know, surrounding tonight's topic, please hang up. Just immediately hang up. Don't do anything to yourself that is going to cause some unwanted feelings to come up and to arise. Your mental health state, it is very, very, very important to me and my guests. And we care about you, and we want you to be checking in with yourself, and we want to make sure that you're okay and that you take care of yourself. So we will certainly understand if you have to hang up. And if you need help, again, remember what I said, seek help. All right? Okay. With that in mind, we have our lovely, lovely Dr. Susan Lorraine here with us tonight. Dr. Lorraine, are you here? We have just an amazing person, just an amazing, amazing, amazing person here. Lorraine? Okay. All right. And so she gets her microphone together. We are, let's tell you a little bit about her. So Dr. Lorraine is, she has over 33 years of service in the psychology field. And she is a practitioner. She is a psychologist. Her practice is Christian-based, and her specialty is trauma. Okay, that's her specialty. So this is why she comes on and she talks to us every month about some trauma things, and we like to call our sessions with her all things trauma, right? So I'm not sure if we have her yet. Dr. Lorraine, are you, can you hear us? Maybe having a little bit of trouble on her. I don't know if she's unmuted or if she's muted herself.
You're not.
Hello, Dr. Lorraine,
can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You are beautiful. How are
there
you?
There I am. You could, oh, you couldn't hear me.
I couldn't.
Okay. Hold on one moment. I'm making an adjustment. Just hold on one moment.
Yes, yes, yes. I tell you, I got a little nervous because I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to kick in my gear here. And pull out everything trauma that I know about trauma, right?
Can you hear me, Michelle? Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you now.
Good, good, good. Okay, good. All right, so tonight, like Michelle said, we will be talking about trauma and how it can lead to suicide, signs in individuals to recognize that someone may be headed in that direction, some tips on, you know, how you can help or direct a person, And we're going to look at, since mental health is so important for everyone, our overall health is important to us, but also there are components in the psyche that drive certain emotions, that drive certain levels in our body, like our blood pressure, temperature. There are various homeostasis levels that keep us healthy, that when we are experiencing depression, anxiety, it can affect the organs in the body. It can affect the cells. So having said that, I do have some thoughts for individuals as far as food, some natural foods that you can incorporate and vitamins incorporate into your daily routines, because they help to bring down and they help to lower anxious responsiveness. When we talk about trauma, we have had many podcasts on trauma. We've talked about the different kinds of traumas, but I also want to reinforce that in counseling and in psychotherapy, not everyone needs the same levels of treatment or counseling. Not everyone needs psychotherapy. And there are people that go through traumatic events that find themselves in need of wanting and needing to talk to someone, but the idea of seeing a psychologist is a little bit uncomfortable because they're afraid sometimes that something will be found wrong with them. That's just experience feedback from patients over the years. But the honest truth is none of us are really perfect, and we all live in the same world of changes, and we all have different experiences. So life is life. We all get thrown curves. Believe me, we all do, even me. And, you know, there are ways of looking at things and handling situations. Before we go any further, I do want to acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ. I do want to do the sign of the cross, because it does defeat the enemy's intent, and it does drive him from the scene. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask you to cover us all in your precious living blood, because it is your blood that you shed for us, for our sins, but for our salvation. And you want all of your children to be happy, healthy, and whole. And we truly are deep down in our spirit. We just need to reach out to you more so that you can bring us closer to you, so that any areas in our lives that need to change and be healed can heal. And everyone, that really is where healing comes from. My practice is not just Christian-based, but it is a dedication to helping individuals get past those places of stuckness. And every one of us, we are all human. We all have the same human condition, and we all experience different emotions. So tonight we're going to tread gently into the topic of suicide and trauma that may lead to suicide. There's been a lot of clinical research, and many doctors have come to the conclusion that trauma in childhood, neglect, abuse in childhood causes many children to experience different levels of trauma. And that, unfortunately, in some people, moves into their adult years. So when we look at trauma and we look at suicide, suicide has to do with what's called psychotic ideations. And what that means is that our minds ruminate with thoughts. anyone that talks about, that talks as if they're going to die, they talk about death, they talk to you as if they are going to die, it is a sign, especially if they are depressed or have a mental health background, it is a sign that they have thoughts of suicide. There is also the warning signs of giving away possessions. People that are just giving things away, they are getting into some very, they're getting into drugs, they're getting into alcohol, they're starting to not care about things in their life, how they look. They don't care about having a job. They don't care about interactions. They start to isolate and remove themselves from people around them. They do not want to be social or engage socially. These are a few warning signs that these individuals are struggling. They are suffering internally with deep, deep depression. Clinical studies have showed that deep depression, major depressive disorders, may lead to suicide. 61% of Americans with major depressive disorder diagnosed by a clinical psychologist may have thoughts of suicide. Individuals become feeling very anxious, even around people they know. They're not sure what to say or how to say it. And another thing, be very aware that there is such a thing as passive suicidal ideation. It is when someone says, I'm not going to kill myself, but I wish that I could just die in my sleep or just have an accident rather than by my own hand. So this is not necessarily any less serious than active suicidal ideation, thoughts of suicide. Talking to people and acting as if you're saying goodbye to them, their tone of voice, I'll see you later. Yeah, see ya. You know, a very, very desperate, low, unapproachable, unattainable, low, low, sad response. These are part of the warning signs. One of the things that we can do if we know someone who is feeling very anxious, we can sit down and be very honest with them. And you can start a conversation by saying, I care about you very much. I don't want to see anything happen to you. And I would really like very much for you to talk with someone. I'm here for you. But I think you need to see a professional. If that is your gut feeling, do not be afraid to be honest. You are not putting thoughts in people's head to commit suicide. You are merely showing your concern, and that is okay. Anyone that gets angry and wants to run and doesn't want to talk with you, that is a major concern. So when you are looking at depression and trauma, I'm going to step back a little bit because a lot of us have anxiety and depression in our lives. It happens. It comes up. It's normal. It's natural. But when it gets to a point where you cannot function, you are unable to think straight. You are making a lot of mistakes in your life. You are not wanting to go to school, not wanting to go to work. Those are major concerns that you may be or becoming depressed. And if not addressed early on, it can lead to very deep levels of depression. The relationship between childhood trauma and suicidal ideation, we have to go to potential mediators, which are involved. Suicide is a multifaceted phenomenon, and it has many multiple risks to it. It can interfere with our psychosocial life, the way we think about being social, the way we approach social situations, the way we handle ourselves in social situations, people that just go in a corner, people that don't want to talk to anyone. Some people are just very shy and it takes some time to warm up. But there's also individuals that even when they are asked to be involved or when they want to, you want to include them and they don't want to be included, something more is going on. Children especially go through a lot of trauma in their early years from age 1 to age 7 is when the emotional, mental, and psychological foundation of reason and acceptance move into the psyche and they start to feel they're comfortable with their world or they're uncomfortable with their world. But even though children may not always be able to express and articulate themselves like an adult would or could, they still can feel. They are little sponges. They do not miss anything that is going on. I've had many children in therapy say, many parents say they were in the other room and they had their TV on and we were outside. They could not, they don't know what was happening. But unfortunately, when you have neglect, abuse, and when you have domestic violence and trauma in a home on a daily basis, unfortunately, children are waiting for it to keep happening the next day, and they're very frightened. And children are affected more so than adults. Females are experience more trauma in their adult years than men. And studies have shown that PTSD, which is a form of trauma, perpetuates suicide. So if an individual is suffering with PTSD and or they have the bipolar diagnoses or behaviors, they're up one day, down the next, they're angry one day, happy the next, and they have severe shifts in their behavior, in their speech and in their thoughts, actions, they need to see a professional so that they can be appropriately treated, diagnosed, and have someone to interact and talk with them and help them. And by the way, I want to say that the way that I work with patients, I pray with my patients with their authorization. I pray with them because the Holy Spirit does speak to my heart and the Holy Spirit does tell me what is needed. Here's an example. I had a patient many, many years ago and the patient came to me and filled out their initial routine paperwork, but they never said they had a heart condition. They were in my office and as they were talking, I was taking notes, but I was praying silently. And the Lord said, ask her about, and he named a specific hospital in the U.S. I said to the patient, what does, and I gave the name of the hospital, what does that mean to you? The response was, oh my goodness, oh my God, I forgot to go for my stress test. I have to go every year, and I forgot. But I want to work for the Lord. I want to work for him, but I'm tired. And I said, well, what do you think about that? And this person said to me, Dr. Lorraine, oh, my God, did somebody call you? Did my brother call you? Did my sister call you? Did my husband call you? Did my mother call? Oh, no, she's dead. It was a little comical at the time, but the point is the Lord really speaks to me. Every patient that has ever come to me has always shifted into a better place. And every patient that has even had the diagnoses of bipolar, dyslexia, schizophrenia, depression, manic depression, severe alcoholism, severe drug abuse. When they come to me and I treat them, they shift. You have a whole new life coming before you. And in the book that I have right now in publishing, it is called The Light in My Heart. The light in my heart is the Holy Spirit working in me with every patient that I receive, whether it's by phone, telehealth, as I have certification for the entire U.S., all 50 states, I'm legally able to practice and receive calls. And the work I do in person, I can still do over the phone. So I'm going to break here, and I'm going to let Michelle step in, ask questions, comment, whatever you would like.
Thank you, Dr. Lorraine. Thank you. As always, you always give us some great information. You are a wealth of knowledge, and we thank you for what you impart into us concerning anything dealing with trauma. So I was listening to you, and it was just hitting some things, some areas in my life, and I remembered something. As you said, you know, the person may not always say that they want to die or they want to, you know, kill themselves or something like that, but they may want to do some things in their sleep, like, oh, if I just go to sleep or if I don't wake up or whatever. And I remember during a dark period of my life, because of the trauma that I experienced, because of the abuse and neglect and maltreatment and all of those things, I remember, you know, when I was addicted to prescription drugs, the pills and things that I would take, I remember saying, hey, if I just don't wake up the next day, it will be fine with me. Like, I'm just tired of hurting. I'm tired of, you know, experiencing these types of treatment from people and betrayal and all of these things and misunderstanding. And so I was okay with, if I take these pills and I just don't wake up tomorrow, I would be okay. And so those are also things that people need to understand when they think that we're the strong ones, you know, to that outside world and to those who were around me. They thought I was the strong friend or, you know, that I was the person that had it all together, but I wasn't. And so we certainly do need to be mindful of that and those little small words that people may say. They may not necessarily, you know, try to harm themselves physically in front of you, but just be mindful of the words and the actions of your friends and family members. Loved one. So I just wanted to put that out there that made me think of that.
Yes, that's very good, Michelle. And that's very important information. And hopefully it helps individuals as they're taking in the show now and they're listening. And hopefully it will help them and bring them to some conclusions and understandings. And also I'd like to provide the nationwide suicide prevention hotline. That number, and I will say it again at the end of the show, that number is 1-800-273-8255. Sometimes all we need is someone to stop and listen, really listen, and just let us talk. And the suicide prevention hotline, they do that and much more. I also would like to make another comment about my book. Publishing a book is very costly, and my thought was to, if anyone would like to donate a dollar, I can provide my address. Any money that is sent in, your name, the amount is recorded. In addition, help with publishing the book. And the reason that I'm reaching out for donations is to get it published very, very quickly, because it is a book that is going to make your heart shine. It's a book that is going to give you a lot of peace inside, and it's also going to give you a lot of comfort knowing you don't have to keep suffering, that there are ways to heal and get beyond where you are. And any monies that come in will be recorded. They will be documented. Any extra monies, I am going to be putting, starting a foundation for individuals that have no roof over their head as a result of neglect, as a result of abuse, as a result of not wanting to be put in any type of temporary homes because they can't be with their biological parents. This foundation, the whole concept is to help individuals put their life back together, to feel like a person that is truly worthwhile, because we all are. We are all worthy of a good life. And Jesus wants everyone, every single human being, to have a healthy, happy, prosperous life. So this is my personal and deep dedication to help mankind. And you in the audience that are listening, even a dollar would be very helpful. And when we reach the point of publication, your names will be mentioned that you gave, even if it was a dollar, even if it was a quarter. It's not about giving a ton of money. It's about saying, I want to be part of this and I want to help. Everything that we do, Jesus sees. Every time that we are willing to reach out and help someone, the littlest thought means the biggest prize in Jesus' eyes. It doesn't matter. So if you feel moved, if you are listening and feel moved, fine. But I'd like all of you to pray and keep it in prayer, because this book is going to help so many people. So here, Michelle, I'm going to hand it back over to you.
Thank you. Yes, and we will certainly make sure that we keep that before the people, that they will be able to donate to help you with this project that you are doing. One of the things that I wanted to bring up is you talked about some of the children, and I know that we look at adults who, you know, may commit some type of, may commit suicide or any of those things, and they go through situations. But we don't necessarily talk about the little people, the babies, the young individuals who are going through trauma. And so I was looking and I found some numbers that I thought would be really good for the people to hear, for the Thriving Nation,
okay,
so that they can get a picture of what was going on. And so some of the things I came up with was 30% of individuals who experience childhood sexual abuse will attempt suicide. And I'll give you all my cited areas after I finish, but that's that number is not a low number. 30% is not a low number.
No, it's not.
In 2008, there were approximately 85,440 confirmed child abuse investigations in Canada. That was just in Canada. We know that there's so many more places in the world, but that was 85,000 in Canada. And children who have been abused are at a much higher risk of thinking about and attempting suicide. And I just wanted to put this out there. Also, 1 in 5 of children who have been exposed to some type of terroristic violence, you know, domestic violence, family violence, all of those things, 1 in 5 of them will develop post-traumatic stress disorder. You talked about that a little earlier.
Right.
So I wanted to put these numbers in front of the Thriving Nation to let them know, you know, this is why we talk about trauma. You know, I'm very sensitive to the children who go through abuse because I am one of those people who went through it as a child, and you continue mm-hmm. to grow up and you become an adult. And if you have not resolved those childhood issues, those childhood situations and things that you've gone through, all you are is a, you know, a 45, 55-year-old child who has been abused. So you may be an adult, but if you've never resolved those issues, you are still back at 6, 7, 8, 9 years old where the trauma happened. And so when you begin to have other things that will come up in your life, other risk factors, you know, you feel like you can't cope or you can't handle it. And so I always like to help the babies out because they can't help themselves. You know, they believe we as the adults are here to protect them, to care for them, to provide them with
right.
all of the tools and techniques that they need in life. And so when you find that someone is abusing these young, precious souls, and they get to a point where they feel like they can't handle life anymore, and they feel like it's so much better to just take their own lives, we have got to deal with that. We have got to fix that. We have got to, you know, do some prevention. And so this is why this show is here. Yeah.
It can be done, Michelle, and I think one of the major things I've come across in the years of my practice were children that were being abused by one or both of parents for whatever reason. The children, the parents deny it. The children speak it, but no one will believe them or listen to them. And then they're sent back to that same home. Now, that's
exactly.
something I have an issue with. That comes down to the laws and the way the laws are written. But there are ways of helping these individuals. And as far as the very young children, the ones that truly are helpless, and even some of the babies and the infants and the toddlers, there is a lot that can be done, and those that do the adoptions for these children and place these children, if anyone's listening, if anyone knows of anyone, I do work with adoption agencies, with the parents, to help them know how to manage and deal and speak to these children. There is a way, even when children are very little, even infants, they still understand what is being said. And the way they understand is that their psyche senses and feels emotions. Just like if we as adults are cooking and we burn ourselves on the stove, okay, there is a shockwave that goes from the stove our hand to our brain that says, ouch, right? Children say, ouch. Children can be crying and crying, and they can also be pleasant and be smiling. Children have a way, infants have a way of letting us know that they are experiencing some type of emotion, good, bad, and different. And there are ways
yes.
for mothers to handle these infants and adopted parents to know how to handle and work with these babies and children. So I'd like to put that out there because as far as I know personally, I know a lot of psychologists and I've worked with many over the years and collaborated. I sincerely don't know anyone that has this component in their practice. So if anyone listening knows of someone or hears of someone, please direct them my way because I can really help them. The last thing I wanted to present to individuals that experience depression, there are very specific foods that you can eat that will help you with anxiety and depression that are actually, and vitamins, the components and the mechanisms of action are in these pharmaceuticals, but you can get the same effect without the chemicals in your body with these vitamins and with these foods. So I'm going to give you some of these ideas. Vitamins, magnesium, and manganese, L-tyrosine. These are vitamins that you can actually take. Make sure you go to a doctor. Make sure you get a blood test done. And make sure you ask appropriate levels. That is something I provide in my practice as well to patients. But those of you that are comfortable with your own doctors, you want to definitely get some feedback from them. In addition, you also want to be taking folic acid now and glutamate, because the body has some receptors for glutamate uptake. Glutamate is an antagonist, and what that means is it fights depression, it fights anxiety. And these vitamins can be found in foods such as strawberries, spinach, leafy green vegetables, asparagus, savoy, cabbage, fish, lima beans, celery, black olives, green olives, squash, and don't forget the complex vitamins. A very good organic plant-based B-complex vitamin will help you immensely with anxiety and depression. So Michelle, that's all I have for tonight. Is there anything you want to ask or add?
Yes, thank you, thank you. Oh, we appreciate you so much on Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. You always provide. I love it. I love this information. I could listen to you all night long just to give this information, and you just really enlighten me. You've named a few things that I like on there. So some of the stuff you were naming, I can't. Ugh, squash. Oh, not one of my favorites. But I love green olives. I love spinach. I love.
But you have to be careful with green olives. Green olives have a lot of salt. So do black olives. So I tell people to rinse them. Rinse, 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 rinse. You'll still get the taste, but you will bring down the level of salt, because salt turns into fluid. Fluid, excess fluid in the body, causes inflammation.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Processed foods have a lot of salt. Now, one of the things I do provide in my practice, another component, I read labs, blood work results, and I can help individuals know what vitamins, what foods, and what they should be doing to help themselves feel better, get better, lose weight, etc. So in my years of in my training portfolio, one of the components was, many years ago I had a clinical vitamin line that I carried. It was formulated by medical doctors. I'm looking to get back into it again. The products are amazing. But you don't stay on them. You only take them to get regulated, and then you're fine. But the thing is, when I had to take on, when I took on this line, I was required to go to school for 3 years under doctors who taught me all about the vitamins, what was in them, the foods, vitamins, and pharmaceutical, your medications. So when I come across someone that's on medications, I know how to help them, redirect them, and help them to balance their system. And I work with their primary care doctors to help get them regulated. So there's a lot of training that I've had, which I don't have a license as a nutritionist per se, but I've got the knowledge directly from medical doctors that only provide so much with patients because they are limited in time. But when they work with me, they get that added support, that adjunct component in treatment for patients.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
So
more,
the audience is
so
getting to know me a little more and what I do and how I've come to do it.
Awesome. 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 Well, we are coming down to the end of the hour. I do want to do another check-in with everyone. I want to make sure that you all are okay. I'm hoping that if you are feeling anything, that you will contact your physician, contact whomever your therapist is. We will even give you Dr. Lorraine's information if you want to contact her after the show, you know, to set up any kind of appointments or anything you might want to talk about. We'll make sure you have that. I want to right now give you the National Suicide Hotline Prevention Lifeline. It's all in the wording. This is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And so we want to make sure that we give you that number again. And, of course, it is 800-273-8255. If you, you know, if you're like me, I remember things in rhymes and things like that. So it's 1-800-273-TALK. And so we know that this is a heavy topic, as we stated earlier in the day. And when you look at the numbers, 46,000 people died by suicide in 2020. That is one death every 11 minutes. That's a large number. And so we want to make sure that we are helping our sisters and brothers all around the world who may need some help, adults who are thinking of attempting suicide. There are 12.2 million who seriously thought about it. They are 3.2 million who made an actual plan for suicide. And there is 1.2 million who attempted suicide. So we want to, you know, make sure that you have the information that you need, the tools, the techniques, things that you need to do. Suicide is preventable, but we have to make sure that there are things in place. We need to, you know, strengthen some of the households. You know, make sure that you all know about mental health insurance and where you can go and, you know, have access to that. Let's listen to our children, listen to our young adults, and listen to our husbands and wives and family members when they say something. Everyone is not just looking for attention, but they seriously have something that they need help with. And so we want to make sure that we are doing that as well. There are some risks that are there to look for. And those risks could be someone may have criminal problems that they feel like they cannot get out of, and that may be a cause for them to want to end their lives. They may have some financial problems, you know, some mental illness, depression. One of the things that I tell people to look for in depression, and people just think, oh, they're just tired, is sleeping. When you see someone who is just sleeping all the time, every single day, they will not get up out of the bed, that's an issue. You got to look into that. And so, you know, those are some things. You know, when you have someone who may be very aggressive all the time, let's check out some of these people. Let's listen, as Dr. Lorraine said earlier, listen, learn to listen to people. Maybe someone that you know has some legal problems, some you know, they can't find a job or they keep losing their job. These are all issues and situations that, you know, people have in their lives that, you know, cause them to want to end their life. There could be some bullying going on. You have adults who are bullied as well as children who are bullied. You know, is there a history of suicide in the family? You know, these are all things that we need to take into consideration. Is there, you know, domestic violence going on or some type of situations in the relationship that keep happening? So is there sexual abuse going on? Those are things that will cause someone to want to end their lives. And so we can help with this, but we have to be mindful of the things that's going on, mindful of the health care and things like that. But some of the other things that I found, and I'll cite my area as the CDC. I got a lot of information. They provide with a lot of articles. They provide you with a lot of tools and techniques to get through this. Because, again, this can be prevented, but you have to help. You know, that person who's thinking about committing suicide, they don't have the strength. So we, as their loved ones, we have to help them. We have to step in there and offer them our love and our compassion and, you know, not just, you know, throw them away, but say, you know, I'm here for you. And how can I assist you? Be present in their life to help them. And so some of the other things that I found, of course, is some of the coping. You got to teach some coping and some problem-solving skills. That even happens with the children. I always say we don't teach children proper conflict resolution situations and those type of problem-solving skills is the word I was looking for. I lost my word there, but skills is the word that I'm looking for. And so it's interesting. This, like I said, this topic is heavy, but it's a topic that needs to be talked about more. It is, we cannot just brush it under the rug. We have to address the elephant in the room. We have to address the fact that our young people, you know, I was astounded by the numbers when I saw that, what was the number that I saw? It was a really high number. In 2020, suicide was among the top 9 leading causes of death for people ages 10 to 64. A 10-year-old, I'm calling him a 10-year-old baby. They have not even begun to live yet. And they feel so hopeless that they would want to take their lives. We have got to do better. We have got to be able to reach in there and help our loved ones as best we can. We're not perfect, and we can't save the world. But if we can do more, if we can be present more, if we can be more empathetic and sympathetic and compassionate and all of those things, we can really make a difference. And that is why we come to you each and every week on this platform, because we want to change lives. We want to make a difference. We want to help you all to get through these different things that we have going on in our lives. So I want to thank again my guest, Dr. Lorraine, for being here with us. She can give you her information. We are at the end of our show. It goes so quickly. But if she could give you your information of how you can all get in touch with her and how you can donate to her wonderful book that's coming out. And then I'm going to go ahead and send us on home and end the show. But thank you again, Dr. Lorraine. Please give them your information.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for having me. I just want to thank all of our audience. I really appreciate everyone that has joined us today. And my direct phone number is 352-272-2212. If I do not answer right away, please leave your name and your number, and please tell me that you were listening to the show or that someone referred you. Thank you so much. God bless, and thank you, Michelle.
You are so welcome. I want to leave you all with also understanding we did talk about some different things, some types of abuse that would affect people who want to, may feel like they can't go any further. I know that we always talk about the physical abuse.
Over. She's just gonna,
but please, Please remember, Dr. Lorraine, can you mute, please? we talk about the physical abuse. We certainly want to make sure that you know that emotional abuse, neglect, and sexual abuse is also a big part of what some people go through, and that can cause the anxiety, that can cause the depression and things like that, and which will lead to suicidal ideation. And so we want to make sure that you have that in mind, because I don't want you to just think that if a person is being physically abused, that they are not being abused. We want to make sure that we keep that in mind. And we are, again, this goes so quickly. I love talking to you all every week. And I tell you, we have so much great information to give you, and we have so little time, but it's okay, because we'll be back next week. We'll have another wonderful guest. You know, I'm always finding some great people to come and talk to the Thriver Nation, because I love you guys so much, and I want to make sure that we help you to take care of yourselves, that we help you to be able to get through life, to get through the days. I know we're all coming out of a pandemic, and a lot of our lives changed because of that pandemic, and we went through some emotional things, and you know, but we're making it through it together. We are getting through this time. We are being able to help one another and to love one another. And you guys know that I always talk about kindness on here, and really as our final thoughts, we want to make sure that you know about being kind to one another. This is what I was talking about earlier. Let's be kind. Let's be mindful that others are going through situations, and they may not handle them the way that we handle them, but we want to be here for them. We want to be able to love on our friends, our family members, our coworkers, our church members, our, people in our community. Just offer a kind thought, a kind word, a helping hand. You may not have a lot of money to give them, but maybe you have a blanket to give someone that, you know, needs that extra warmth. Or maybe you can make an extra pot of food, and you can take it to your neighbor who has children that he or she is struggling with. Or, you know, you can treat someone to lunch at work, or just some kind to do to help one another. So as always, you know, we talk about being kind to one another, but the biggest thing I want to always leave with you is be kind to yourself. Don't forget that when you're being kind to other people, that you need to really be kind to yourself. And I want you to always, always, always remember that you're no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver, right? You are part of the Thriver Nation. You are a thriver. And I want you to make sure y'all tune in next week, right? Because we got something special for you. I always say that, right? Because every week is special. Every week we have another outstanding guest that's going to be here. So you don't want to miss it. And I want to thank everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for, of course, we have had another amazing show, and we can never have these amazing shows without you all. So be sure to follow me on YouTube. Make sure you like and share. Make sure you hit the notification button so you'll never miss a show, right? And before we sign off, we got to thank, I haven't done this in a while, we have to thank our amazing producer, Kimmy Kim. Listen, we cannot do this every week without her. Please help me thank her. She is an amazing producer. She is the visionary of the Elation family, the whole family. We have Elation Magazine. We have Elation Radio. We have our Ashes to Beauty Clubhouse every Friday night. I mean, she just goes and goes and goes. She keeps us all together. And so we certainly want to thank her. We love her so very much. So we are going to get on up out of here. And y'all know how I do it. I remind you all of my thrivers, that when you love yourself, you are healed. And when you are healed, you are loved. Thank you all for being here and tuning in. Thank our special guest, Dr. Lorraine. We will certainly see her next month for another portion of trauma. And I love you all. Have an amazing, amazing day, rest of the night and week. I love you. Bye-bye.
Pick your head up. Get up. It's only right. Take back your life. Pick your head up. Get up. Take back your life. And come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Ladies shall hold your peace.
Out loud.
Speak your peace.